Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. You got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is
now. Crosstalk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on top. Big discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. Spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican. Let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show. Worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions, and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. We on the air like here we go. It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Cross Talk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
It's your boy, Big Pudge.
Man, thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. We love you all day long.
You know, give it up for yourself for being a great audience.
Thank you for tuning in once again. We love you so very much for tuning in.
All right, so we know it's November, so you know it's time to talk about Thanksgiving, the history of Thanksgiving. And of course, we'll tackle is whether we should celebrate it or not. Because everybody has their own reason. Some people celebrate Thanksgiving, some people don't. Some people say it's pagan, some people say it's not. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to just read the information. I'm going to celebrate it, and we'll talk about it. All right, so, Pudge, you got anything before I jump in this?
Nah, go ahead, jump right in.
So here's the thing. I did a lot of research. I got a lot of research ahead of us, but I didn't want to bore everybody with all the details. So I got some information on the real story of Thanksgiving. I will say, you know, starting out, when I was coming up, I was always taught about Thanksgiving being this peaceful holiday between the Indians, as they called them, which was Native Americans, and pilgrims. They sat down and had this awesome feast, and everything was wonderful. And then as you get more as I grew up, I started hearing people say the real tradition of Thanksgiving was just this impression I got. I didn't even research this until recently. You know, people have you thinking that the Native Americans sat down, came to eat with the Plymouth or the Pilgrims, and then people jumped out and killed them all and slaughtered them. Uh-huh. That was not the case going by the history I studied. But however, I Googled that. Nothing came up. You know, so either way goes, here's the intro. Most of us associate the holiday with happy Pilgrims and Indians sitting down to a big feast. And that did happen once. And the story began in 1614 when English explorers sailed home to England with a ship full of Patuxent Indians bound for slavery. So slavery, he was pulling slavery back then too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This time it was Native Americans. You know, a lot of times you think of slavery, you think about
black people.
Mm-hmm. And this is some of the negative stuff. Then we're just little key notes. They left behind small parts which virtually wiped out all of those who escaped. By the time Pilgrims arrived in Massachusetts Bay, they found only one living Patuxent Indian named Squanto. That's where Squanto comes in. Mm-hmm. Who had survived slavery in England and knew their language. So, I mean, he spoke English. He taught them to grow corn and to fish and negotiated a peace treaty between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Nation. At the end of the first year, the Pilgrims had a great feast honoring Squanto and the Wampanoags. That was the first Thanksgiving.
Okay.
They came together. They brought their food. And what it is, it was nothing ill about that meeting to get at all. only thing was it was coming together and it was giving things for the feast and the harvest that they received that year. I think from what I understand.
And that was because they, it was because they had, it's pretty much they had a drought.
Okay.
It was a drought. That's from what I was, from, actually from what I'm reading, mm-hmm. that's what it was. So they were, you know, giving that thanks because, you know, they said God pretty much gave a mm-hmm. bountiful of what you. It is that harvest was.
Makes sense. So that sounds like no ill intent. Doesn't sound like a pagan origin to me.
Right.
Okay, also, from what I understand, what I've studied, that the Native Americans, they had like three or four Thanksgivings per year when they gathered around and they had a big feast and mm-hmm. they come together with each other and they thank God for the harvest.
Okay.
You know, they were very, somebody's very aware of God's presence, even if they had different beliefs than what we had. They were very appreciative and didn't take anything for granted. They would thank God for the animals they killed. And, of course, we all knew they used
right.
every square inch of the animal for everything.
Right.
Okay, so that's where some of it happened. That's the Thanksgiving. Now, I do know, as the white people, I won't say like, but I'm just reading this. The white man spread in that cult, in that colony, they started sending word back home to England. And then more and more people started coming. Mm. I'm skipping around a little bit, but more and more people started coming. And what they did, this is wrong. They seized the land, captured the Indians, mm-hmm. tried to convert them to Christianity because they said their ways were wrong.
Right.
And they killed them. And even as a Christian, it upsets me because that's not Christ's teachings at all.
Sound like the Crusade days.
Exactly. I'm hugely against convert or die mentality. I mean, I'm against any person that would try to kill somebody over not choosing Christ. Christ died for us as a free choice. And that's contrary to his teaching. So I would never stand by and say that's okay.
Right.
But, so that's what happened with that. Jumping back to Thanksgiving, they came together and they invited Squanto and Somerset to Thanksgiving. And you know how you do. It's almost like how you invite black folks to your house. Like, you know, you tell two about it and they show up with their whole family. So this is what happened. So the pilgrims invited the Indians, the two Indians, and the Indians told their family. So what happened was, Pudge, they showed up with 90 of their family members.
What?
Yes, 90 of their family members. So now, we didn't have enough food for that kind of
right.
stuff.
That's what they're thinking.
And so what? So the Indians picked up on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying Indians because that's what it says on the paper. I mean, right. we know they're Native Americans.
Right.
But they picked up on the fact, like, okay, they wasn't prepared for us. So they went and they killed, you know, brought their food in. They brought the deer, they brought mm-hmm. corn, they brought...
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Wifey trying to call.
That step phone, y'all.
I forgot to turn it off.
Hey, but did y'all hear the song, though? Man, we got to take an intermission, man. That's love, y'all.
It is love.
That's love, man.
Let me turn the radio.
Did y'all hear that song, man? That was wifey calling, man. That's love. You know, it could have been a song by Kendrick Lamar. You know, B don't kill my vibe.
I know, right? Because the ringtones mean something.
They do.
They
mean something. All right, back to our
record. I forgot. Sorry, y'all. Thank you for the intermission and even explanation, Pud.
Right.
But So, of course, they show up with these 90, their 90 family members. And these folks like, dang, how are we going to feed them? We only invited like two of y'all. Like, uh-huh. You show up with your whole family. Like, we was expecting 90 folks to show up.
Right.
But that's how black folks do. You invite one, and they bring their cousin. Then they don't bring nothing, but they want to take food when they leave.
Right, right.
But anyway, moving on. And that's a true statement. I've seen that firsthand. They don't bring nothing. They leave with fireplace wrapped up.
Now they come with Tupperware bowls.
They sure
they
do.
They come with to-go bowls.
They sure do. Free food, they coming.
Right.
But anyway, so what happened, the Native Americans, they went and killed deer and brought food and stuff like that. And I can't, and while I'm going to look up to tell you exactly what they actually brought to the feast, but I know it was like oysters mm-hmm. and deer and just different random things, which kind of explains where we get the tradition of having so many different things when we come together.
Right.
And I think it was just a building of culture at that time.
Right.
All right. And that was actually the story of how it happened in 1621 was the very first Thanksgiving. Not the recognizable holiday we have, but the first coming together with the feast
right.
between the pilgrims and the Native Americans.
Right, right.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that was the only time they came together because things got real crazy after that.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to add, please?
Nah, go ahead.
Okay. And so after that, like I said before, they started showing up with all these ships, and they did negotiate a peace treaty. The Patuxent Indians, not the Patuxent, I think it was the can't remember which one spoke. Who was it? The Wampanoag Indians Nation and the Pilgrims had a peace treaty they made up. Of course, from what I understand, the peace treaty was a little bit slanted towards the Pilgrims' favor. Mm-hmm. But I don't, after a while, they didn't honor it. But what happened was they started bringing more and more ships. And I don't know why people had this mentality that you could just come and take people's land.
That was just that mentality back then.
So what they did, once they got to the point where the Native Americans taught them everything, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. What happened was, mm-hmm. they did have a famine that year you talked about, and they did come together mm-hmm. about with the food and everything. And that's why they were also being thankful. I think that's probably why the Pilgrims were being thankful as well.
Right.
But during that winter, a lot of them died off. A lot of the white people died off. And so the Indians taught them their ways because they knew the land and they had wisdom. So they showed them how to grow food. They showed them how to live.
Survive.
Yeah, they taught them how to live. Showed them how to build the house like they had. The
little huts.
They call it wigwams. Wigwams.
Okay.
Wigwams, they're like a kind of like an igloo, but instead of having ice, it's like hay on top of it.
Yeah.
And so that's what they taught them. Mm-hmm. Taught them how to survive, live off the land. Taught them how to cultivate corn and all that good stuff. And so that first year, everything was good. And then more and more people started coming. Now they know how to survive. So now they didn't need the Indians. Mm-hmm. And then once they learned everything they need to learn to survive, they took over. Like, when I say took over, they took the land, killed the Indians, had a war and everything. Like, it was crazy. And not to mention they brought diseases. I can't say they brought diseases like they intentionally brought diseases, but mm-hmm. the Indians weren't. They didn't have immunity built up to smallpox, so of course it's going to wipe them out.
Right.
So it wiped out a lot of them. Like, when I say a lot of them, like 90% of them. Like, it was Jesus. A lot. And that's the part where the Native Americans have an issue with Thanksgiving. Like, and I think that's where the confusion comes in, but that didn't happen during Thanksgiving. It happened after Thanksgiving.
Right.
And so what happened was, like, they said they brought all these people over from England. And, hey, the land is rich over here. Come over here. And it's like, y'all just start they just started taking the land mm-hmm. and killing them. Mm-hmm. They took some for slaves, and they killed some of them, and built the church and everything, tried to convert them to Christianity, then killed them if they didn't convert, and it was really, really, those were the real savages, actually, at that point.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, it's a lot of information. I got like 12 pages of information telling you how it led up and all that, but I didn't really want to dive too deep because I'd just be here reading to y'all, and y'all can read on your own, but this is the information that I have. I researched it through several different sources, and it all comes back. Some of the stuff that sounded kind of bogus to me, so I'll admit it that.
Mm-hmm.
And but everything that showed up like more than like 3 or 4 times, I put it in my notes for the discussion today.
I guess what I'm trying to ask is, was there more than one tribe?
Yeah, it was more than one tribe, but the main one was the Wampanoag. The Wampanoags. Okay. That's the one they had Thanksgiving with. But even with Squanto and what was the other one I named? I can't remember his name right now. It was Squanto, and I think Somerset. I named Somerset earlier. Somerset, too.
You did say Somerset.
Okay.
Earlier.
Squanto and Somerset, they were from different tribes, but they both spoke English.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was Squanto who helped come up with the peace treaty between them. And talked to the Native Americans because, you know, he spoke English. He was translating back and forth. So that's mm-hmm. how that peace treaty came together. But, sorry, it was definitely Squanto. He taught them how to grow corn and to fish and negotiate a peace treaty between the Pilgrims and the Wampanoag Nation. So, yeah, Squanto was not a Wampanoag. I think Somerset was. And they became friends, of course. And then and they had a lot of different ones, like the Pequot, the Pequot Nation. I'm spelling it Pequot Nation. They did not agree to the peace treaty that Squanto had negotiated, and they fought back. And they said that war that they had, the Pequot War, was one of the bloodiest of Indian wars ever. I think they fought that between each other.
Jesus.
And then this was stuff where this stuff here gets a little kind of biased, and I think it's kind of not plagiarized, but they fluffed it up a little bit more to make their point. So I'm not going to read all that, but I know there was a lot of wars fought through different tribes, but it wasn't just one tribe.
Okay.
All right, Push.
Now, I'm not even coming from. I guess the stuff that I saw, it was like two different kinds of Thanksgivings, or meanings for them.
Oh, one second, Push.
Go ahead.
I haven't stopped. But
no, go ahead.
My assignment was to talk about first Thanksgiving. I forgot one important fact. For 3 days, I think the first Thanksgiving lasted 3 days.
That, yeah,
for 3 days, the Wampanoag species with the pilgrims, it was a special time of friendship between two very different groups of people. A peace and friendship agreement was made between the Massiot and Miles Standards, giving pilgrims a clearing in the forest where the Opoxit village once stood to build their own town of Plymouth. So they actually had, when they made that treaty, they did give them permission to clear a certain area to, so they could, the pilgrims could live there and cohabitate. Okay. That's the whole purpose of the, one of the purposes of the peace treaty. But of course, that got exploited later, as you can see by history, period.
Right, right.
All
right,
so that was the first Thanksgiving. It was 3 days long. That was a heck of a feast.
It was.
That was a heck of a feast.
It was.
And so there's no slaughter at the day of Thanksgiving. Not the first, not the second, not the third day. Because like I said, if you listen to certain people, they'll have you thinking that the Indians came over.
It's like they tricked
them.
Yeah,
and they got jumped and they got ambushed and killed the day of Thanksgiving. That's not how it happened.
Right.
So the actual Thanksgiving sounded like a very great thing. Good diversity training, good thing to bring people together. Cultural training for each other, I guess. All right, but that's all I got on the Thanksgiving. Go. It's on you.
Pilgrims, thanks. I'm trying to read up on where these two of these. Swift was not joyous. I guess so, just to give some background on. Some factual background on Thanksgiving. I didn't realize that there were two different kinds of Thanksgiving. And it's one you're just talking about with the Pilgrims and Wampanoag. Wampanoags, they acknowledged founders of the feast, but was always... hold on.
Come on, Pudge. Did you
get
hooked on
bearings.
Phonics?
I did. Shut up, man, with the hooked on phonics, man.
All right, so
one Thanksgiving was, giving thanks for the Creator's gift. You know, it had always been a part of their daily life.
Wait.
Yeah, theirs. And Native people in North America have held ceremonies to give thanks for successful harvest, for the hope of good growing seasons. In the early spring, and for other good fortunes, such as a birth of a child.
Okay, back up. Can you read that whole thing again, when you talked about them giving honor to the Creator?
No problem at all.
Read that again, please.
No problem at all. From ancient times, Native people of North America have held ceremonies to give thanks for successful harvest, for the hope of a good growing season in the early spring, and for other good fortunes, such as the birth of a child. Giving thanks was and still is the primary reason for ceremonies or celebrations. My bad, I didn't read the beginning. The beginning says, giving thanks for the Creator's gift had always been a part of the Wampanoag daily life.
And stop. Not pagan origin at all.
Now what's
giving thanks to the Creator is not a pagan tradition. People tend to think that like it's every holiday is not a pagan orientation. I'm saying that sounds great. I think we should give more thanks for stuff we receive every day.
And here's the beautiful part: they were giving him thanks in advance.
They're not
even giving him thanks for what they already have. They're giving him thanks with the hopes that next year will be awesome.
And the Bible talks about that.
It
sounds like it goes in line with the Bible to me.
It does.
And guess what? That was before they were Christianized by the Puritans, who thought they were savages. They thought they needed to convert to Christianity. There's already given thanks to the Most High for His attributes and the stuff He's already given us, and thanking Him in advance. There's already worshiping, as you will. But go ahead.
You're right on. You're spot on. As with Native traditions in America, celebrations complete with merrymaking and feasting and England and throughout Europe after a successful crop are as ancient as the harvest time itself. And then we talk about 1621, where the laborers were rewarded with the bountiful harvest after a year of sickness and scarcity. That what it was?
Yeah. Scarcity.
Scarcity. Wow, I said that way wrong. But that was the reason why when they had that, you know, Thanksgiving, it was for 3 days, you know, so it was they had a year worth of, you know what I'm saying, scarcity, sickness, and everything else. So it also says the pilgrims gave thanks to God and celebrated his bounty in the harvest home tradition with feasting and sport.
So let me ask you this, Push.
You feeling amped, ain't you?
Yeah, man.
Because... It is. I see you raise up.
I did. All right, so
you feel good just a little bit.
So I'm going to act like I didn't know what you just said. So I'm going to say this. It sounds like both parts of the people who came together to celebrate Thanksgiving, you said the Indians, the Native Americans, they had already had a tradition of giving God thanks for the harvests.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Giving God thanks, not pagan.
Right.
Giving God thanks, not pagan.
Right. Right.
All right. So the Puritans, right? Pilgrims. Yeah. They came over.
Uh-huh.
They also gave thanks.
Right.
And they came together.
Right.
There's no paganism there. There's no evil there. There's nothing. They're actually giving glory to God for what they... Can you just read that again?
No problem at all. The pilgrims gave thanks to God and celebrated his bounty.
Wow.
And the key, I keep saying his because that's key.
It
didn't say celebrated our bounty for the harvest. Mm-hmm. His bounty.
Preach it, brother.
In the harvest home tradition with feasting and sport. To these people of strong Christian faith, this was not merely a revel. It was also a joyous outpouring of gratitude. So they were just beautiful. They were just awesome and just thankful, you know, as we are told to be,
mm-hmm.
period. Anyway, so the arrival of the pilgrims and Puritans brought new Thanksgiving traditions to the American scene. Today's national Thanksgiving celebrations is a blend of two traditions. The New England custom of rejoicing after a successful harvest based on ancient English harvest festivals, and the Puritan Thanksgiving, a solemn religious observance combining prayer and feasting. Now, here's the, just knowledge, because I didn't know this, and I actually found this, you know, pretty interesting, even though I would have never Googled this or tried to research this had we not decided to do this show. Florida, Texas, Maine, and Virginia each declare itself the site of the first Thanksgiving. And historical documents support the various claims.
Wow.
Never would have known that.
So you're saying they had the first Thanksgiving there?
No, what they're saying is their Thanksgivings, they're claiming the first tradition, the original tradition after a harvest. Like, they're saying when they have Thanksgiving, those places, their Thanksgiving represents, the state represents, when we have Thanksgiving, Florida, when Florida, the state of Florida represents Thanksgiving, but it's representing Thanksgiving based on the first tradition, which is the actual harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're saying.
Wow.
So, yeah, so Florida, Texas, Maine, and Virginia each declare itself to the first site Thanksgiving, and historical documents support the various claims. You know, it says that, then it says Spanish explorers and other English colonists celebrated religious services of Thanksgiving years before the Mayflower arrived. Did you hear anything about Mayflower when you were reading?
A little bit.
Okay, I didn't really, I heard that come up a few times, I just didn't know exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's the ship the pilgrims came in on.
Okay.
They came several times, so I get a little confused on, like, which time when the Mayflower actually showed up.
But okay.
It came in.
Oh, was it a ship?
Yeah, the Mayflower is a ship.
Okay. You were about to say something.
No, I was just telling you that. I don't know which time. Because at one point, you know, they had to come here before because they took some of them as slaves. And then when they went back, like I said, Squanto was taken as a slave. And he came back. So in order for him to go there, he's not going to just go to England as a slave by himself, so they had to take him. So apparently they came before.
Right.
And then when the Mayflower came out, I think that's when they probably colonized him for real. Like, I'm not sure. As the order, because it was several times they made several different trips, and it was several different ships. So, you know, in school I'm taught that's how they discovered America was on, they came and they stepped on Plymouth Rock and all that other stuff.
Right, right, right.
But there's a lot more before that.
Coming to America.
Yeah, they keep on forgetting about... that they came and took. They don't talk about when they took them as slaves either, but of course, they're not going to teach that.
Right.
Yeah, let me go back. So the Algonquin tribes, which is the first time I mentioned that,
okay.
Those are also tribes in the area because, like, you know, Native Americans, they have a lot of tribes. They can, a lot of times, they can coexist. So the Algonquin tribes, they held six Thanksgiving festivals during the year. I mentioned that earlier. I didn't say the tribe name, but I was telling you, they had three, but it was six a year they do.
Oh, okay.
Six a year, and they gave the Algonquin year was marked by the Maple Dance, which gave thanks to the Creator, again, for the maple tree and its sap. Mm-hmm. The ceremony occurred when the weather was warm enough for the sap to run in the maple trees, sometimes as early as February. Second was the planting feast, where the seeds were blessed. The strawberry festival was up next, celebrating the first fruits of the season. Summer brought the green corn festival to give thanks for the ripening of corn. In the late fall, this is probably the one where they actually teamed in with the pilgrims, mm-hmm. the harvest festival gave thanks to the food they had grown. Midwinter was the last ceremony of the old year, when the Indians sat down to the first Thanksgiving with the pilgrims. It was really the fifth Thanksgiving for them.
Right, okay, okay.
So yeah, that's a little bit more thorough information on that.
So I have this right here. It says, a few people realize the pilgrims did not celebrate, well, we were talking about that earlier, the Thanksgiving. They didn't celebrate Thanksgiving the next year or the year after that.
They did not?
They did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't celebrate Thanksgiving for the next 2 years. Though some of their descendants mm-hmm. later made a Forefathers Day that usually occurs on December the 1st or December mm-hmm. 22nd.
Okay.
And several presidents, including George Washington, made one-time Thanksgiving holidays in 1827, Mrs. Sarah Joseph, mm-hmm. Josepha Hill began lobbying several presidents
for
the creation of Thanksgiving as a national
holiday. I remember reading it, sorry.
Right.
I wasn't there.
But her lobby was unsuccessful until 1863 when Abraham Lincoln finally made it a national holiday. So it became a national holiday, you know, officially 1863. That's actually a long time.
Yeah, it is.
You know, for the first one to be, they were recorded 1621 and then 1863.
240 years.
Jesus, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it says, today our Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday of November. That was set by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1939.
So Abraham Lincoln said we could celebrate the holiday, then they actually made it they changed the date to what we have it now.
Yeah.
Was another president, Roosevelt. I didn't know that.
Yeah, approved by Congress in 1941, who changed it from Abraham Lincoln's designation as the last Thursday in November. So he pretty much, dang, I don't have the rest of this. which can occasionally end up on the fifth week, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. So
we can.
That's what they're saying.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, and it was never. I didn't. You know, I've read up on Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was one of the presidents I really, harshly, probably didn't care for. Mm. You know what I'm saying? For multiple reasons when it comes to black folks. But you know what I'm saying? I figured you was gonna tackle, you know, the myth side of mm-hmm. you know, because me and you both grew up thinking the same thing. Well, of course. I grew up thinking in school, you know, it was all peaceful.
Thinking, that's fun. What they taught. It wasn't what I was thinking. That's what they put
in our heads, right. But then, you know, I didn't do any research on, you know, Thanksgiving as far as hearing the black side of it, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. as far as being massacred. I was told that, too.
Yeah.
You know, so this is the first time I ever did it. And actually, I actually got caught up in just, I guess you would say, the political side of it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Because them states tripped me out, like that they actually went the extra mile to say we represent this version of Thanksgiving,
yeah,
and not this other version.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then I didn't know there were two different versions of why people celebrate, you know, Thanksgiving. So I guess we gave them the history, and it just let y'all know, people. From what it was recorded, most people debate there were no turkeys. all kinds of stuff.
You know what makes me mad about that now?
What?
Even as a kid in school, you know, they used to give us a little coloring paper.
With the turkey, right?
You know, it'd be turkey, and you know, the pilgrims were sitting there, and they always had turkey, but it wasn't turkey.
No turkey.
And I'm trying to find in my notes what they actually had.
I saw geese and
here it is. Oh, you got anything yet?
You know what? Geese, ducks, succotash, cranberries.
Mm-hmm.
They said, although the native to the region would have been too tart to cranberry as a dessert, the sweet potatoes were not yet grown in North America, though grapes and melons would have been available. I mean, so it really wasn't. They pretty much just said, I saw fish, geese, duck, succotash, squash, cranberries, potatoes. So, you know what I'm saying? It was like pretty much stuff you actually harvest.
All right, here we go.
Right.
You're right. So, just to give you all a little bit more thorough information, I actually found it in my notes.
Uh-huh.
I told you I'm going to paraphrase, but I actually went to my notes where they actually had the very, very first Thanksgiving. And I'm going to just reiterate what happened. Here's the information, because sometimes certain people, my wife, be saying we be leaving information out and we be speculating. So I'm going to read it verbatim.
Right. I got you.
And do it. So Captain Miles Standish, the leader of the Pilgrims, invited Squanto Samoset, and I might be pronouncing these names wrong, mm-hmm. Massasoit, who was the leader of the Wampanoags, and their immediate families to join them for a celebration. I don't think Indians have a concept of immediate family.
Right.
I think they think everybody is on the same level. I think that.
Right.
But they had no idea how big Indian families could be.
Mm-hmm.
As Thanksgiving feast began, the pilgrims were overwhelmed at the large turnout of 90 relatives that Squanto and Somerset had brought with them. The pilgrims were not prepared to feed a gathering of people that large for 3 days. Of course not. I can't feed them for one day. Seeing this, Massasoit gave orders to his men within the first hour of his arrival to go home and get more food. Thus it happened, the Indians supplied the majority of the food. Five deer, it says wild turkeys right here. Many wild turkeys, fish, beans, squash, corn soup, cornbread, and berries. Captain Standish sat at one end of a long table, and the clan chief Massasoit sat at the other end. For the first time, the Wampanoag people were sitting at a table to eat instead of on mats or furs spread on the ground. The Indian women sat together with the Indian men to eat. The Pilgrim women, however, stood quietly behind the table and waited until their men had eaten, since it was their custom. For 3 days, the Wampanoags feasted with the Pilgrims. It was a special time of friendship between two very different groups of people. A peace and friendship agreement was made between the Massasoit in the Miles Standish, given the pilgrims declaring in the forest where the old Pawtuxet village once stood to build their new town of Plymouth.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, according to this push, they did have turkeys. I didn't know that either.
See,
they had wild turkeys. Yeah, that makes sense, though.
A bunch of historians and theologians still debate to this day.
Oh,
but they just said there's no proof of turkey. So
how's the proof of anything else then?
Literature. As far as I know, literature, and then people just testing certain things. I mean, who cares?
I mean, honestly, it makes sense for it to be turkeys more so than not. Like, I lived in New England, actually right around where they talk about this stuff happened. There are wild turkeys up there.
Okay.
And we know Indians hunt it, so if they can kill a deer, they could kill a turkey. I think killing turkey would be easier to
probably
capture.
Yeah.
But either way, they can supply five deer. I'm sure they can supply some turkeys.
Exactly.
But it don't matter to me, but I just want to give a little bit more of account of what they actually had on the first Thanksgiving. They didn't have any stuff. Well, I can't say they didn't have stuff. They had cornbread. That might be nice stuff. I don't know. They had different stuff, but either way it goes, it was coming together, two different groups of people eating. That sounds wonderful to me. Both of them came together with the understanding of honoring God and thanking God for the creation of the harvest that they was getting ready to eat.
Right.
Same thing Bible says. Jesus broke bread. He gave things and broke bread. So they walking right to me with that one.
Right.
Now, I can't explain their intentions, but I'm just saying, with the history I have and I've studied, I don't see anything malice about the very first Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving as it stands. Now, this article I read was written by a Native American. I can't tell you what tribe it came from. I want to say it may have been one of the long lost, or long not long lost, but one of the descendants of the Wampanoag tribe. I could be wrong. But I will read this last article. I thought it was very interesting. Because, of course, even with history, when you're talking...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do have two sides of the story. It's called history because it's his story.
Right.
Like, you know, if you look at Christopher Columbus, his story says he discovered this land. Okay.
And we were actually taught that.
Yeah. The Native Americans say this dude came to our land that we're already here. And it's, it depends on what side of the spectrum. Even if you talk about a war, like if you go to Afghanistan and they're talking about from an American standpoint, we say we went over there and we freed the people, or Iraq, we freed the people and gave them democracy. Some people might view that as us, America came over, invaded, and changed our way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the good either, just to change our
government. Change the way I live. Yeah. Right.
And some of them do hate America. But either way, it goes all about what side of the spectrum you're on when it comes to history. So, of course, the Native American side is not going to be as favorable towards, their memory is not going to be favorable. If my people got killed and slaughtered out of land we own, rightfully own, and y'all, you know, then it's not going to be a favorable thing. So I'm just going to read this right here. It said, "Today, the town of Plymouth Rock has a Thanksgiving ceremony each year in remembrance of the first Thanksgiving. There are still Wampanoag people living in Massachusetts. In 1970, they asked one of them to speak at the ceremony to mark the 350th anniversary of the Pilgrims' arrival. Here is part of what was said. This is what the Native Americans said. This hit me kind of, it's kind of got to me a little bit. Today is a time of celebrating for you, a time of looking back to the first days of white people in America. But it is not a time of celebrating for me. It is with a heavy heart that I look back upon what happened to my people. When the pilgrims arrived, we, the Wampanoags, welcomed them with open arms, little knowing that it was the beginning of the end. That before 50 years were to pass, the Wampanoag would no longer be a tribe. That we and other Indians living near the settlers would be killed by their guns or dead from the diseases that they brought. Let us always remember the Indian is and was just as human as the white people. Because they say that because they call them savages.
Exactly.
Although our way of life is almost gone, we the Wampanoags still walk the lands of Massachusetts. What has happened cannot be changed, but today we work toward a better America, a more Indian America, where people and nature once again are important. Wow. People and nature. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's dope.
So yeah, that one kind of hit. It didn't hit homie, but I felt it. When
yeah,
he,
I mean,
said
it's
that.
Sad because y'all celebrating, and you know what I'm saying. It's not a good memory for them.
No,
you know what I'm saying. It's a constant reminder every single year while the world is celebrating how your bloodline was massacred.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying. So that's not. I mean, I can totally understand why. You know what I'm saying? It could be a sad day for all of them because it's not, I mean, it's not a happy day. Just like because it's the holidays don't mean everybody going to be cheery and merry.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the holidays are probably one of the most depressed. I know Christmas is like the most depressed season of the year.
Statistically, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
A lot of people have lost a lot of people during that time. So when it comes around, it's kind of a depressed feeling. You know what I'm saying? My grandmother had to go through that for years, losing my grandfather like the day before Christmas Eve.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she still lived like 30-some years after he died. But, you know, that was one of her things. You know what I'm saying? Seeing her have to go through just because it's that time of the year. And then, you know, the crime actually skyrockets at the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, so people spazzing out.
Yeah. So I guess you started the show off saying, you know, should you celebrate? You know, why should you celebrate? So my sum up with that is whether I'm thankful, period. I'm thankful that God wakes me up every day. I'm thankful that he constantly blows brand new breath of life into my lungs. I'm thankful that my family is good. You know what I'm saying? So it's a time where to get together to just be thankful. Of course, you're supposed to be thankful every day. Mm-hmm. However, it's a time where the world looks at it like a day of thanks.
Yeah.
So it's like I look at it like I'm glad I know the truth about what really happened. So even though the black version is they were massacred right then and there, even though that part ain't true, they still were massacred.
Yeah.
that fact is still very true.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
You know, and you know the sad part is out the last website I went to. It's sad because they giving you, and I was gonna read it, but what I was looking for they didn't have, and it just upset me. But it had every single date from the time they came on the Mayflower ship in 1620 all the way up until it became a national holiday. But what they even had between 1771 and 1778 was when they was going back debating. But you don't have on there not once between this year and that year is when they were all massacred.
No, they're not going to.
You completely left all that part out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they did. I looked on some source and all the information was missing.
Nothing.
Or not there.
None of it was there.
I don't like that.
Right.
History is history. Like, right. If it happened, it happened. Whether it's negative, positive, it happened. It's not like people, we just try to focus on the negative stuff. But it's like when it's been so deliberately removed, you know, it's a problem.
And it's people should know. So it's not focusing on the negative, because how about this? If this was something that positive happened that was a hidden secret, we would be unveiling it to you. You know what I'm saying? So it's just something that's been hidden, you know what I'm saying? And when it did come to light, it came to light in a form of just the timing was just off. If you look, because the story ain't really wrong, the timing is just off. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's more closer to the truth. The sad part is you were actually taught in school and with that vital piece of information left out. You know what I'm saying?
And the Indians were portrayed as savages. That's
right.
Crazy.
You know, and then sad part is like, it's funny because just the other day, like my kids know better because I've When I learn something, I tell them. And my son was telling me something, and he was like, I called him, you Indian. He was like, you Indian giver. And I was like, man, I told you, like, dog, don't say that. And he was like, my bad. Like, he knew, but that's the thing. I grew up being told that when somebody give you something and take it back, they're Indian givers.
Indian givers. And can then you explain where that comes from?
Originally, I didn't never understood it as a kid. I never knew why that was. As yeah. I got older, you know,
I did know, but it's derogatory.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely derogatory.
No, I'm saying it has something to do with the natives giving in people saying the natives gave them the land and then they took it back. Yeah. That's why I call them Indian givers. But yeah. it was something led up to that. Mm-hmm. I said it too. Indian giver. Somebody gave you something, take it back. It's an Indian giver.
And somebody
said it too as a kid.
Somebody actually told me that. Somebody was like, well, somebody give you something and take it back, they're Indian giver. And you know, like I said, it wasn't until I read up on it. It wasn't until I realized that they were robbed of their land.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
That I realized that they was wrong because they were robbed of their land and they fought to get their land back. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just like you calling a black person a nigger. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. You know, you calling a Mexican a wetback. It's all of them are offensive. You know what I'm saying? It's all up in that same. Telling somebody they're Indian giver, especially mm-hmm. to that actual, especially to a native person, that's, I can imagine how offensive that
is. Yeah, it is offensive. Yeah. Not to mention, we got teams called the Washington Redskins. Like,
all right.
You know what I'm saying? This is right. crazy.
Not cool. It's almost like, oh man, mm-hmm. all I want to know is, you know what I'm saying, we fail you. That's what I want to know. We definitely fail you.
I really want to give that history of Indian giver where it comes from, because that's something we need to talk about. But my word, people, next podcast, listen to the next episode, I will give that on there. It'll be a totally different topic, but I will give that information on there, because I didn't have it in front of me. I didn't think it was going to go talk about Indian givers right now, but I want to have that information out there.
Right.
All right, so summing up, for my sum up is this. Yes, I'll celebrate Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed for me. Actually, more solidified reason I celebrate actually here in the actual origins were right. basically the same way I celebrate anyway. For me, as a kid, coming together with Thanksgiving, I never thought about the Indians. I never celebrated Thanksgiving thinking Indians and Pilgrims sat down. I knew that was the history of it back then. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was a time to get with my grandmother, my grandfather, my cousins come over. The game is on in the background. People are debating, people are eating. We having great food, different stuff. I'm from Connecticut. My grandmother was raised in the South, so we had weird stuff at our Thanksgiving. So every Thanksgiving, I would expect to have turkey was the main thing, but it was all of a sudden weird. Like, Thanksgiving, we had Thanksgiving, we'd have turkey. Turkey and sweet potato souffle was always a staple stuff and that stuff.
Right.
But the exotic stuff was I've had Thanksgiving, we had raccoon, we've had goose, we've had duck, we've had lamb. It's like everything's going. So in my mind, coming up, Thanksgiving meant we're going to have turkey and some weird meats. But it's always a fun time because I got, you know, all my cousins up there. We come together. We have a great time. We eat a lot of food. We go outside and play. And all, you know, the grown folks in the house watching and watching the game and debating over everything.
Right,
but it was all love and fun. That was how I grew up with Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So for me, Thanksgiving is never about the Pilgrims or the Native Americans. Not to take anything away, but it's, for me, it's not. When I celebrate, when I think about Thanksgiving now, I'm truly thinking of my family coming together.
Right.
We eat a lot of good food.
Right.
And I'm thankful for everybody that's in the room. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's not in the room too, but at that particular moment, you know, we're thankful for everybody that's coming to the table. Everybody's still able to come to the table and have a good time and fellowship for us.
Right.
And I am thankful that the Creator has blessed me with everything that I have and then some. And so even when we do Thanksgiving, I know a lot of people do this, and I like to do this because it's called Thanksgiving. It's not just called come eat turkey and take your plate and go home. So we do gather in a circle. We do pray.
Right.
And then, you know, sometimes when I host it, we'll have everybody go around and say something they're thankful for.
Oh, we do that.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. Yeah.
Yeah, we do
so
that.
So I love that, man. Yeah, especially when my name comes up. Like, oh, y'all thankful for us? That's like, it's great. But it's really cool to do that. And I think it gives people a chance to really express what they're thankful for.
It's just
a great thing to me. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a great time for me. So I don't have no problem celebrating Thanksgiving. If you're a Christian and believer and you feel like you shouldn't based on the fact that you think it's pagan, then, of course, do your research. My research led me to believe that nothing was pagan about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a Christian or a believer, kingdom citizen, whatever you want to call yourself, and you feel convicted on it, then by any means, like we always say, don't celebrate. Hey,
right, right.
Everything's like,
you
feel not
some type of way.
That's, you know,
but don't be convicting yourself. That's when you're talking about saying. God convicting you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Don't do that to you. Don't do that to God. That's if you're gonna do it to yourself, then okay.
If you feel convicted, hey, if the Holy Spirit convicting you on celebrating, not celebrating. If the right. Holy Spirit say, that's what goes.
Right.
It's not all about what's right and wrong at times. Sometimes it's what's best. Like some people, like we always talk about, some people can eat pork. God told me I can't.
Right.
It's not a problem for me.
Right.
But I'm not preaching that everybody shouldn't eat pork because God told me not to do it.
Right, right.
You know, and I can go on these tangents all day about what people say you should watch, you shouldn't watch, but that's between you and God. If your relationship with God allows you to do that, then do it.
Right.
If it don't, then don't. And as you grow, I'm sure the things you're doing now, you probably will be doing differently later as you grow in your relationship.
Right.
Same thing in the marriage. When you get married, certain things do change.
Right. That's
as
true.
You learn
that's
what the person true. Likes, what the person don't like.
That's true.
You know, and people change. God don't change, but as you grow, He reveals things to you more about, you know, as you get more in tune with the Holy Spirit or with God, you know, you'll be able to hear what He's telling you and directing you to do, you know, more so than you did in the beginning, because you're able to hear His voice more.
Right.
I've been saved for 20 years, and then God told me, no, actually not 20 years, 19, 18 years, and this was the year God told me to stop eating pork.
Right.
And
right.
So, okay.
Right.
We conversed about that some.
Right.
All right, God,
right.
So really? All
right.
Right. That's what you want. You know, but now right. I joke about, but now I don't mind missing pork now. It's more of an inconvenience thing sometimes when you go to a hotel and they got the bacon, but it's not like, right. Oh, man, I just miss eating pork. You know, I miss the choice. I don't right. miss eating pork, though.
Right.
I ain't lost no weight not eating pork, but I mean... It's just whatever God said. If you start feeling convicted on something, do not eat it. Because I know people who are spiritual, and they don't eat meat because they feel spiritually convicted about it. They right. don't agree with their spirit. I know people who like the taste of meat and cannot eat it because it makes them sick because of spiritual reasons.
Yeah.
I eat, my wife is one of them. Like, she's a vegetarian, and I don't care what people say. I'm going to explain this. For the sake of vegetarians and people sound like idiots out there, I'm sorry if you're one of these people, but I'm telling you the truth. Vegetarians cannot eat, they do not eat any form of meat. They do not eat chicken, they do not eat fish. Mm-hmm. When you are a vegetarian and eat chicken and fish, you're no longer a vegetarian.
Right.
Here's how, because every time my wife says she can't eat meat, oh, you can have chicken though. No!
That's still a meat.
Yeah. And some people say, no, chicken's not a meat. So, okay, so where did it grow from?
Fish?
Yeah.
It's not a meat. It's a seafood, but chicken is definitely a
it's
meat.
It's still a meat, though. Fish don't grow. They don't grow from seeds. So here's my thing. Here's how I tell people. If it has a heartbeat, then they can't eat it.
That makes perfect sense.
But the point I was going before I got off of that soapbox. True, but if it has a heartbeat, then she can't eat it. That's what right. it boils down to. Vegetarians right. do not. If you're a vegetarian, you're eating chicken and fish, then you're not a vegetarian by definition. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to vegetarians, you got all kinds of different ones that you got ovo-lacto, who someone can eat cheese and milk and all that other stuff, and some can't because it depends. Now, vegans, they don't eat any animal product whatsoever.
Right.
But when it's a vegetarian, they eat all vegetables. They can eat grains. They can eat and drink. They can eat dairy products, but they just do not eat anything that has a heartbeat. They can even eat eggs. Eggs don't have a heartbeat.
Right.
I never had a heartbeat.
Right.
All
right.
But what I was trying to say was my wife is a vegetarian. And so she has to have protein. So she does for protein is eggs. But, you know, she was trying to eat salmon. Still doesn't. I mean, at that point, she wouldn't be a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And she likes salmon. Salmon does taste good to her. But it made her feel so bad. Spiritually, she had to stop eating it. So when I'm saying it's a spiritual conviction, it's something that you're not supposed to.
You can't do nothing about that either.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Don't act like people, because vegetarians know meat tastes good. Mm-hmm. If you don't think they know meat tastes good, why is everything they gotta have as a meat substitute? You think about it, they got eggless eggs, they got chicken shaped this, chicken shaped that. So vegetarians know it's not a taste preference. People don't give up food based on steak is nasty now, so I'm not eating that. That makes sense. But when people give up food like for a spiritual reason, it's not mm-hmm. because it don't taste good to no more.
Right.
It's because they have a strong conviction to it.
Right, right, right.
Like they're not denying that meat steak tastes good. I won't ever deny that pork tastes good. It's just I'm okay.
Right, right.
People are like, oh, you don't like pork now. I know I love pork. I'm just not gonna eat it. You know.
I never said I ain't like pork.
Yeah, I ain't never said I just don't eat it now. You know, ain't nothing to do with that. Yeah. So just keep that in mind. Vegetarians, look it up. If you think I'm wrong, please email us.
I know that's right. Please email us.
Please, please. But anyway, that's it. Got on the soapbox a little bit, but anyway.
It did.
First Thanksgiving, everybody.
I want everybody to enjoy y'all Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Like, really, really, really spend time to be with your family, man. And for those who have lost people at this time, Crosstalk Radio, we love you. You know what I'm saying? We are, you know, I'm not going to say I understand, but I know a lot of people who do have, who are, you're not alone. You're not alone. Get with some family. Get with some people who really love their family, really have a lot of love energy around them. You know what I'm saying? And just be, don't be alone. Don't be alone during this time. Don't be alone.
If you don't have no family, you can go see, if you're in the Atlanta area, Pudge said his house is open to each and every person.
It is. I would give my address out, but this is social media and all this like showing just popping up, right? You know what I'm saying? But I'm a chef by trade, so you can definitely, you hit me up on the crosstalk. You know what I'm saying? On the email.
You know, either one, but I would go as far as to say it's Thanksgiving time. If somebody don't have a place to go to in the Metro Atlanta, hey, if you're not in Metro Atlanta, if you can get to Metro Atlanta
and you
area,
get right,
email us and me and Pudge will pull numbers from the hat and see
we
who
sure
goes.
Will.
Yeah. So I'm dead serious right now.
Right, he's not dead serious. He's live.
I'm
serious.
I'm live serious. Which means I'm very serious.
Very serious. That means he's meaning what he's saying, but he really always means what he say. But he really, really means
that's what, I'm
what he said.
Yeah, I really mean what I say every time I say it. Thank
right, you know what I'm saying? And we not far from each other, so it won't be nothing for us to go ahead and make that together. So if y'all need somewhere to go, man, hit us up at Crosstalk, man. Crosstalk Gmail.
No, Crosstalk Podcast at Gmail.
Crosstalk Podcast@gmail.com.
And that's Crosstalk with a K. Any reason whatsoever. You want to talk about anything? You want to talk about something differently? I mean, or talk about stuff we haven't talked about? Or, you know, just reiterate some things we already shared on the show? Hit us up. If you have any questions, hit us up. Crosstalk Podcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook under the Crosstalk name, Crosstalk with a K.
Yep.
Alright, so now Pudge, it's time to get the shout outs, man. So I'm excited about this one, man. I'm excited. But before I give these shout outs, I want to say we're thankful for every single listener from
every
day one
single,
to day now.
Yes,
thank you so
every
much for
single
every,
listener.
Every listener. So let me get the honorables out the way. Shout out to my mom down in Gray, Georgia. Thank you for always tuning in.
Appreciate that, mom.
I appreciate the encouragement text we get every single week.
That's right.
We don't get a lot of feedback on the show, but my mom is very thorough.
I mean, not thorough.
She is consistent. That's what I meant. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Consistent.
We love feedback. I don't care if it's bad feedback. Depending on how what it is, we might not read it.
Right. Just give us the feedback.
We want to know. We're trying to get a show to you.
Right. Right.
If it's something about the show you're not liking,
tell us.
Tell us. If it's something about the show you love, tell us so we can keep it. Because we always think about different ways to make the show, to keep the show flowing and keep it interesting for people and reaching people. You know. Like we did the movie conversation. But anyway, moving on. So special shout out to my mom. Special shout out to Kanye's Georgia.
That's right. Hi, Kanye.
Special shout out to wife, who's such a fan, who calls me during the recordings to hear what's going on. That's what she's calling for. Shout out to my wife, Keisha, for tuning in and calling in. I should have answered it on the podcast.
You never know.
It might be one of those husband and wife type tests.
Right.
Hey, baby, you know what I'm saying? No, you're on speaker, man. You're on speaker. You got to be careful with that kind of stuff. I got to warn you. You're on speaker.
Hey, bro, you're on speaker and we're on the radio show.
Yeah,
which
so
one's
please,
up, bro?
Keep it simple.
Right.
All right, so special shout outs to Conyers. Thank you for being one of our
favorite listeners.
We
appreciate you.
Thank you. All right, so those were the honorable. So here's the real ones that showed up on the list this week, the top 10. You ready for it, Pudge?
I'm ready for it.
All right, special shout out to Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Stone Mountain,
Forest Park, Georgia.
Forest Park,
Atlanta, Georgia.
ATL,
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, T.
Riverdale, Georgia.
Riverdale, GA.
Houston, Texas.
Texas and Georgia. Come on now.
All right, we're going somewhere else now. You ready?
All right.
Clarkdale, Arizona.
All right. That's new?
Yeah. Okay. This week is new. I mean, we had Arizona show up last time. Like, I think Phoenix was on it last time. But Clarkdale, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Orlando, Florida. Hanging with us. Morrow, Georgia.
That's what's up.
Franklin, Tennessee. That might be some of Fly people.
Okay.
I think that one showed up on her interview. Okay. But, special shout outs. First time listener, Brazil is in the building.
Brazil.
Worldwide, baby. Yes. Shout outs to Brazil.
Worldwide.
Yes. Thank you for everybody that's tuning in. Everybody said prayers on us for us. Thank you so much for everything you do, for continuing to listen to us, continuously sharing our posts.
Yes.
Thank you for the love. We love y'all. We pray for y'all. Y'all have a very, very blessed and happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. This is Steph Swig.
This is Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.